15, Monday on ESPN.
Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our very own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we are joined by Green Bay Press Gazette, extraordinarily awesome Packers beat writer, Mr. Wes Hodkowitz, who will help us break down the win over the Seahawks and look forward to the matchup with the Chiefs. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
The man, the myth, the legend.
BJ Raji.
Mike McCarthy saying the best game Raji's ever played.
Jayrone coming up, Elliott.
Coming up with two big plays.
And we got the bad. We got James Starks fumble.
James, buddy, ball security.
And we got the ugly. We got injuries.
Always with the injuries. Always. We cannot escape them. This team, destiny. Destined to be injured. How you doing, Corey?
I'm good. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm all right.
Packers are 2-0, baby.
2-0. Games that matter have been played, and the Packers are undefeated. I like this feeling. It's pretty good. Pretty hot.
2-0 does not suck.
Nope, it doesn't. You know what else doesn't suck?
What's that?
This here beer.
Oh, yeah.
A little Stillmank Brewery.
Little bee's knees.
Little bee's knees. Salud, my friend. Bottoms up.
Speaking of. We are giving away a poster.
That's right, we are.
A free poster. All you have to do is tweet the following
on
your screen. You know it well if you watch the show. I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. And you could win a Packers Legends poster. Speaking of, this poster, you know, don't wait to win this, people.
It's all the rage.
I think you should buy it.
It's all the rage. Brent, flying off the shelf.
Brent Schoonover, amazing comic book illustrator and artist, made the poster. And he just did Johnny Blood last week. So every week he's doing, just like he did last year. So he basically took, every week he picks a legend. He does the legend in his own sketch. And then the poster that we have this year is all of those together.
From last
year. So you can imagine we're going to have an aggregate over the next 10 years of all the greatest Packer players in history. And the sketches are amazing, by the way.
They are very
the Johnny
cool.
Blood one I want on a t-shirt badly.
All I want to know is when is he going to do Travis Jervey? That's it. That's all I want to know. Got to have Travis Jervey in the mix at some point. He's had 10 years, so I think maybe year 8 or 9 we'll probably get to him.
I don't know about that. Don't know about that.
Don't know about that.
I see a comment about the Packers fence. We're going to talk about that later.
We will get to it. We will get to it, everybody.
Josh on the chat says that he was actually at the Packers fence.
Very nice.
I have not been myself. I wanted to go this weekend.
Really,
really badly. But I'm excited to see it for Throwback Weekend on October 17th.
My dad was there. He saw the fence. He saw the game. I was very jealous. Very jealous of everybody who was there.
Your dad went to the game?
Yeah.
Holy.
I know.
When's the last game he was at?
2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But he goes every once in a while.
Yeah.
A buddy has tickets. So like every once in a while, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll go to the game. But so he went. Yeah, and he had a great time. But yeah, there you go. Wisco Disco in the house. Tweet it out, people. Show your pride. And visit our good friends, Legends of the Field. They have all sorts of really cool stuff on that website. I was on there the other day. I gotta admit, I'd only been there, gave it a cursory glance when they came on board. Didn't think anything of it. And then the other day, I went on there. They have some amazing stuff.
Yeah, they get all the players, basically.
Amazing stuff.
They just did a James Jones signing.
Yes, and just incredible. But they have everything. So if you're itching, if you're a collector, check it out. It's really fantastic. Let's get to some Packers news, because there's a lot to talk about here. The biggest story, obviously, I think, other than the fact that the Packers got a measure of redemption against the Seahawks on Sunday night, the biggest news coming out of the game, obviously the Eddie Lacy injury. Good news kind of coming out of that being Eddie Lacy avoided a significant injury.
Yes.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, I think, was the first to report it. And then Tom Silverstein reported that they still needed to look at, you know, tissue damage, things of that nature. I know Lacy was supposed to be testing it out yesterday. I haven't seen a report in regards to, you know, how that fared. Got to think that will come out later this week. I'm of the opinion, and I wrote about this on Cheesehead TV, they should, you know, just rest him. I get that he had a similar injury back in 2013, and he played well. He played very well down the stretch, even though he was dealing with that injury. But that, you know, at that time, they were fighting for a playoff spot. You know, Aaron Rodgers had been out for a long time, and Lacy was kind of the workhorse of the offense. We're in a different spot now. The Packers are in a very different spot, sitting at 2-0, having a home game. I get that there's an extra day because of the Monday night tilt, but you know, James Starks is more than capable. I'm anxious to see Alonzo Harris get some carries. You've always got Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery who can do work in the backfield, and, of course, John Kuhn in a pinch. So I don't think it's really that prudent that we get Eddie Lacy back on the field as soon as possible. I think give him the week to rest.
No, and I think it's good for Neo to get a lot of reps early, yeah, because you know we're going to need him in the playoffs. So get him early and then get Lacy back up, and it's good because there won't be a lot of game tape on Lacy for people to play off right?
Well, so, and you get Alonzo Harris some valuable touches now, so that, you know, down the stretch, if they need him, he's battle-tested. Speaking of ankle injuries, another guy who suffered one in that game is Davante Adams. Hasn't got nearly the press because he came back and played in that game, but I know he is it is very tender, and he is dealing with that. All indications seem to be that he will play Monday night, but you have to think he'll be very limited in practice throughout the week because, like I said, I know it's tender, and I know it took a major tape job and some real gumption from the second year guy to get back out there. And
I'm surprised we didn't see Jeff Janis in that game.
Well, Ty Montgomery came in and did his job. Man, Ty. We'll talk about him a little later when we're talking about the offense, but I very pleasantly, not surprised, I won't say, I guess, but very happy with what I saw from Ty Montgomery in the limited time that he was in the game. He made some big time plays.
I'm actually really surprised by the rookie play this year already in the second week of the season.
I totally hear that. Yeah,
pretty insane.
And then finally, on the injury front, Josh Boyd placed on IR. And I'll tell you what, I was not impressed with Boyd in camp in the preseason. He really played pretty darn well. You know, the limited amount of snaps he got to play in the 15 season, he was kind of surprising me. And then to go out on such a BS play, too. Like, the back had stopped, and then the whistle didn't get blown, so the pile got pushed, and then he got hurt. It's like, really? You know, they're standing there, the momentum's done, but they won't blow the whistle because he's not, quote-unquote, down. Mm-hmm. It's a huge pile. Where is he going? Like, it just sucks to see a guy hurt on a play like that.
It's true, but then you look at, like, plays where, you know,
I know.
The guy pops out of the pile, and then there's a touchdown, and it's crazy. I mean, it's football.
It is football. That is true.
It has rugby origins.
Very, very good point. Oh, and then finally on the news front, Mason Crosby. Congratulations to Mason Crosby, your new all-time scoring leader with the Green Bay Packers.
This really annoys me.
I knew it would.
It's just so annoying.
You know whose record he broke?
Yes.
Ryan Longwell's.
That's not that annoying.
Those are your one and two
it's
all-time
always,
Packers scorers.
It's like, really? Really?
And I think Don Hudson's still up there. Don Hudson,
yeah,
and
but at
Paul
least,
Horning.
Okay, at
and
least
those
Don
guys
Hudson. Okay.
See, played from scrimmage.
Exactly.
As well as kick.
Exactly.
I know. I hear you. It is a little annoying. But,
it's just,
you know.
It's like now Mason Crosby gets to come to Green Bay
for the rest
and be
of
like,
his life.
You're all-time scorer. Thanks, Mason Crosby. We really appreciate those times we couldn't get in the end zone and you kicked a field goal for us. Thank you.
Hey, man. I don't know. I'm not going to denigrate the guy. It's a pretty awesome.
I'm not denigrating the guy.
It's a pretty awesome accomplishment.
A pretty awesome accomplishment is
being the all-time scoring leader for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it is. In name only.
Oh, gosh. Just think about his journey, though. Think about the fact that, like, everyone on Earth, including you and I, were ready to run him out of town on a rail back in 2012.
That's because he sucked.
I know. But they stuck with him. I don't think any other franchise would have done that. And now,
yeah, but,
look,
okay,
he's amazing
okay.
now.
Did they stick with him because they had no other options?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay, you can look at Ted Thompson. He's one of the greatest scouts, one of the greatest player personnel guys in NFL history, right?
Yeah, all right.
What is his weak link?
Punters?
Special teams, okay? And not gunners either. He can find gunners.
I know. Specialists. Yeah, I can see that.
I don't think he's going to go down in history, and I don't think he's actually going to be mad about this fact, but I don't think he's going to be like going down in history as like the greatest field goal finder in the world or a kicker or punter.
I don't know, but like the personnel group always pulls out people that like no one's thought about or has heard about. So I think they probably had people on a list at some point.
Dude, we were,
but they never went to it.
That's like that whole time period we were bringing in Australian rules football kickers because we were desperate. The only reason Mason Crosby has his job is because the Packers were desperate and didn't do their job scouting in 2012. There's no doubt about that.
I feel like there's some revisionist history going on here, but okay, all right, I'll roll with it. I'll roll. I'll play your game.
And Ryan Longwell wasn't even that good of a kicker.
I totally agree. You just got a lot of opportunities.
A lot of opportunities.
All right. So let's talk about the offense. We like to do the offense and the defense. Enough of this special teams nonsense. Let's start with Don Barclay. I want to thank Jay on CheeseheadTV.com. Put up an awesome post this afternoon. This happens every time. Like, Monday morning rolls around, and people start tweeting out the Pro Football Focus grades. Now, I love my brothers over at Pro Football Focus. I know and have met many of them. They do fine work. They are probably the hardest working people on the internet in regards to watching game film. I take nothing from them. That said, there are uses for their stuff, and there is stuff you can totally disregard. And a lot of the game stuff, I don't have time for it. Because, as so many people have pointed out, you don't know the play calls, you don't know what they've been asked to do, you don't know the coaching points. It's totally results-oriented, which is fine. That's fine. They're looking at what they see, and they're grading what they see.
Yeah, but that you could say that about Twitter.
Oh, yeah. And I do. But, so, Jay wrote this great post about, yes, Don Barclay, at times, definitely struggled, but he nowhere near resembled the grade he got from Pro Football Focus if you go back and watch the tape.
What grade did he get?
Oh, I don't know, like negative 10 or some ridiculousness. And like negative like 3 or 4 is like horribly bad. And he got like a negative 10 or something. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, at the end of the day, the only number that matters, and it's already an atrocious number, is 2. The times Aaron Rodgers has been sacked in the last 2 games. And that's already more than we need.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty okay number. That's a C.
You can live
with it. That's like a C, C minus.
You can live with it. You can live with it. But I just wanted to, you know, give Barclay a shout out because so many people were tweeting me about, oh, Rodgers is dead. Rodgers is going to have to get the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds. Oh, Rodgers.
He ran. And he did get the ball out pretty fast.
But that's the thing, though. It's like, yeah, they can still run their offense. Does anyone remember Marshall Newhouse? Left tackle. They won like 10 games with Marshall Newhouse at left tackle. That's when literally Aaron had like 2 seconds. You know, they will, as long as they can operate their offense, which Barclay allows them to do. Does he hold, like, is he Brian Bulaga? No. That's why he's not starting over Brian Bulaga. But they can run their offense with Barclay in there. Is he going to get beat? Yeah, of course. And we'll talk
so
to...
So what about Bakhtiari?
He got hurt with power
His weakness, right?
Always has been. He's serviceable against speed. He's better against speed. Guys set him up with speed and then hit him with power, and he can't anchor as well as some of the other guys around the league. But, you know, he still does his job more often than not. And, again, they can operate the offense. And he does – he gets way too much slack, in my opinion, from Packers fans. Like, they see, like, him get beat in, like, 3 or 4 plays out of 60. And it's, oh, our left tackle sucks. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, let me put on some game tape from around the league and show you some left tackles.
That's how I feel about cornerback play.
Yes,
from Packer fans.
Exactly. Sticking on the offensive side of the ball, Mr. Ty Montgomery, who we mentioned earlier, Four receptions, four big receptions, two of which, there's one that I vined out earlier, was amazing, where he got the ball in one of those plays they always used to run into Jermichael Finley, where they would have Finley kind of like do a quick out, like 1 or 2 yards off the line of scrimmage, get the ball in his hands, and the two guys who were also on that side would just go out, not even in patterns, but they were going out literally just to block. He took one of those and spun off two kind of hits. Like, nah, they weren't even tackle attempts. They were like the defenders trying to throw a shoulder and knock him down, and he just bounced off those guys. I mean, that's what we heard. Remember when they drafted him and they said he's a bigger Randall Cobb? Yeah, shoulders aren't bringing this guy down. Like, he is built, and he took Bobby Wagner's one of his best shots, just spun around and kept on going and got a first down. That's exciting if you're a Packers fan. That's exciting if you're Aaron Rodgers. You've got another weapon now, somebody who can operate underneath the coverage, because a lot of teams like to play those two high safeties. Yeah. Get another big guy underneath who's athletic and can get after it after the catch. Exciting stuff.
I would agree.
And then, speaking of exciting stuff, how about the game from Richard Rodgers? Talk about asserting yourself. Talk about putting your stamp on the fact that you are now the man.
I'm still not bought in.
At the tight end position.
I'm still not completely bought in.
Yeah, you need to be, dude, because that train's leaving the station.
I got to go back and watch the tape.
That train is leaving the station, son. Oh, my God. This guy is so much
I mean, I'm excited. We need that. That's the number one thing we need.
I loved two things about his performance on Sunday night. First, obviously, being on the touchdown pass where, you know, Rodgers hit him for a touchdown, the winning one at the end. I love the fact that Rodgers said afterwards that that was essentially a broken play where he had called the cadence, but he called the cadence to try and jump, get the defense to jump off sides, and Lindsley snapped the ball when he was supposed to wait so he could give the guys their route assignments after Rodgers had read the defense, but Lindsley snapped the ball. So then all of a sudden, everyone just had to go. And if you look at the tape, on the top part, like, I think it's James Jones and Randall Cobb, they just, like, meander into the end zone. They have no idea what to do because they never got an assignment. So they're just like, okay. And they just, I think Randall Cobb tries to set a pick or something. Like, but there's, like, no cohesion at all. And on the other end, Richard Rodgers is in the slot, and he runs kind of an out, like, not an out, but like a corner route. And then he does this great thing where he looks back at Rodgers, all right? And Kerry Williams is looking at his defender, is looking at Richard Rodgers. And Rodgers does this thing where he points over his head like this to tell Aaron, I'm gutting back in. So Kerry takes a step that way, and then Rodgers does a basketball move around him. So he goes the opposite way of where he was pointing, and Aaron didn't throw it over there. Like, Aaron knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, that was the connection that they had where – Aaron knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly how he was going to fake Williams out and resulted in a touchdown. That's next level stuff. That's like, okay, Aaron and he are in sync on a play that was broken. Touchdown. I love it. And then the other thing I loved was after he caught the 2-point conversion, he was jawing with Bobby Wagner and he got Wright all pissed off. That was great. A little fire from the guys. I love it.
I hear you.
You know, get on board, Benke. That's all I'm saying.
I'm on board. Come on. I just, I want your Michael Finley.
I know. I hear you.
I'm ready for the next Jermichael Finley. That's it.
I don't think he'll ever be Jermichael Finley, but I think he'll be, you know, kind of the next Paul Kaufman. Big, can block, but definitely a threat in the passing game. Actually, when he came out, I thought he was a little bit Mark Bavaro, the old Giants tight end.
Yep.
He's, like, got some grit to him. He's got some aggressiveness that I like. Still needs refinement as a blocker, but I think that will come.
How about the Seahawks defense
completely
collapsing this season?
Well, I don't know if they played back. They actually
They are not the threat they were last year. They are not the threat they were.
Now, to be fair, they haven't had Cam Chancellor, who came back to the team today, and Therald Simon has been hurt. Although, a couple of the guys played pretty well in their places on Sunday night. You know, it's just... There's not that cohesion. And Richard Sherman. How about Richard Sherman getting beat a couple times?
That was the greatest play. The broken play.
The broken play where he runs into Montgomery and gets him that big first down on pass interference. What's up, Richard Sherman? What's up with James Jones beating Richard Sherman for a touchdown? Love this. Yeah. Love it.
We still only threw at Richard Sherman like 3 times, by the way.
Yeah, and Rodgers did throw that touchdown on a broken free play.
Yeah,
where he knew, even if it's picked off, it's okay. That's fine. I love it.
No, it's fine. It just goes to show that there is some kind of intelligentsia respect,
right?
Which is kind of annoying.
Yeah, It's also smart. It's annoying, but it's smart.
But it's also smart to know how good you are.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know?
Very true. I think Aaron knows he trusts himself to a point.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is like conservatism.
It's kind of, yes, it's kind of always his way, you know?
Which is good. I mean, I had someone. This is a guy who, you know,
is a two-time league MVP
and hasn't thrown an interception in a long time, and has one
forever.
Of the greatest touchdown interception ratios. Who followed a guy who didn't have the greatest touchdown to interception ratios, and right. So you know that's what you get. You're a little more conservative, and maybe you're played safe.
Well, it's
with
funny
the ball.
Too because I've been waiting for this, and it finally happened. I had a couple people ask me this week, like, you know, Rodgers is so aggressive on those free plays. Should he be like that more often, like more of a gunslinger? And I'm like, yeah, if you want Favre again, you know, that's what people killed Favre for it. And I get it's like incremental, like you don't have to go full Favre. But I get that, like, people, I get frustrated with it. Like, he doesn't rip it when he knows it's not a free play and it could be an interception. He's very calculated with when he chooses to
that's good. It's being patient with your offense.
Exactly.
Which is why the offense is so good.
And so I was just going to say, it was the most efficient offense in the NFL last year, led the league in scoring. Like, it's hard to argue with the results.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who has 128.4 passer rating.
Lord have mercy.
Number two in the NFL. Well, unless you, technically it's number three. But that's because of
Whedon.
Yeah, Whedon has like seven passes, seven attempts, 100% completion. But I'm not counting that.
Number
two, behind, surprisingly, Marcus Mariota.
There you go. The young pup.
And the next quarterback at number three is like 4 points below that. And Roethlisberger is like 8 points below that. So, I mean, it's a very good start to the season for Rodgers.
Absolutely. As you knew it would be, because he's the man. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball before we call young Wes Hodkowitz. How about the rebirth of B.J. Raji? I mean, B.J. played a pretty good game down in Chicago, but he played an outstanding game against the Seahawks.
I wouldn't call it a rebirth until he actually intercepts the ball and runs it in for a touchdown.
All right. Well, you may be waiting a while, but
That's like the larval like moment where he becomes a moth again, or becomes
a
butterfly.
From the cocoon of mothness. Or whatever.
Like, if you're going to go with the rebirth metaphor.
Well, it's just, you know, you saw him on Sunday night doing things, and obviously the position switch is a big part of this, where you saw him doing things that you remember him doing back in 2010, where he was getting that quick first step and shooting gaps and causing havoc. Now, sometimes, especially in the second half, the Seahawks started kind of game planning away from it, where you saw a lot of the stuff that was going to Marshawn Lynch in the first half and getting bottled up. That's, you know, Russell Wilson started going outside on those read option plays, or you know, they did a couple more things off tackle, et cetera, just get away from the interior, to get away from Raji's pressure. Although I will say there was a play, they tried to get outside with Marshawn Lynch, where Mike Neal set the edge like a boss, and Pennell and Raji, and basically everyone in the front seven just did a fantastic job. And we'll talk to Wes about this. They're going to need that this upcoming week with Jamal Charles coming to town.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole other beast that they're going to have to deal with.
Well, they, you know, it's funny. They finally learned their lesson. They only had like two or three plays where they didn't keep contain on Wilson.
Right.
And the times they didn't, they got burned for it.
They got burned bad. Yeah.
But there were times where I was like, wow, this is a disciplined defensive line.
Again,
that's kind of amazing.
Again, with Mike Neal, he's one of those people who got burned and then came back and made a huge play where Wilson would have had a big gain if it wasn't for Mike Neal staying put. So, yeah, I thought, you know, Raji was great. The whole interior played really well. And then you kick it out to the perimeter.
Hold on. That was not the greatest game B.J. Raji played as a Packer. Okay.
All right. I'm just going by what Mike McCarthy said.
No, somebody said that on a chat.
All right.
The greatest game B.J. Raji played as a Packer is the NFC Championship game in Chicago, okay? All right. Slow down, everybody, slow down.
I'm just going by.
And Mike is not always right, as we know.
I know. I'm just listening.
He had to shave the beard. He was wrong to shave the beard.
Totally wrong
to
shave the beard.
So don't get me started on things that Mike McCarthy is wrong about.
You know who wasn't wrong is Sam Shields. What a bounce back performance from young Mr. Shields.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny, too, because he made a play on the very first play from scrimmage. And then you basically never saw him again for the rest of the night. Like, they didn't throw at him. They didn't run at him. They just stayed away from him. They went after Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde, but they didn't go anywhere near Sam.
Which I was going to bring up. It's surprising they didn't go after Demarius Randall more.
And, well, he played well, too.
He did. But it's surprising who they went after.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, I was kind of surprised who the Seahawks kind
of
targeted.
Let me tell you, the fact that so much being made of, like, how they used or didn't use Jimmy Graham, the one play where they really tried to, like, get Graham going early, they, you know, they sent him out on a wheel route, which has always killed the Packers. That's a route that a wheel route is exactly how they killed Tremont Williams last year down in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
They've always struggled against that. Sean Richardson, blanket coverage on Jimmy Graham on the wheel route. And then they didn't throw it to him again. I think they threw it to him like maybe one more time.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, but Sean Richardson, I've been a critic, but buddy, that was the hotness on that play.
I thought linebacker coverage was pretty good.
Not Nate Palmer.
Which is kind of ridiculous because you never say the same sentence. Linebacker coverage was good.
No, but Nate Palmer did a great job. My goodness, I was shocked. And then finally, we mentioned Mike Neal, also Nick Perry. Both those guys playing well. I think Malumba got some snaps. Heck, those guys played apparently well enough to keep Clay inside the entire game. Clay didn't take an official snap from the outside linebacker position the entire night, which is kind of crazy. We're going to talk to Wes about that because I'd like to hear his reaction to it. Even though Clay is still listed on the depth chart as an outside linebacker, this is the dumbest stuff, all right? And I'm going to have to talk to Wes about this. Like, every week we're looking at the depth chart. Mike McCarthy has nothing to do with that depth chart. You know who has to do with that depth chart? The PR department.
Yeah,
they put it out because they have to.
Yes. Well, and it goes to injuries too, right?
Right.
Injuries, you know, I was explaining this to Rachel. She was like, well, he's listed as questionable. And I'm like, there are rules, but there's still all these gray areas.
Yeah,
literally, injuries are used as a strategy
absolutely.
In every way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even look at who was questionable in the game that came back and played in the game.
Yeah, Devontae Adams.
And how often does that happen? Yeah. Devontae Adams is listed as a question. You're like, he's not going to play.
He's not coming back. And
that
then
is
he came
a
back.
Strategic thing that they do. Now, maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't know enough, so they were like, let's make it questionable. But also, maybe they're playing head games or trying to with Carroll.
Yeah. Quite possible. Oh, you know, speaking of Pete Carroll, you had to say Pete Carroll. Wait, do we got time?
There's nobody that will take your head game and make it even more worse than Pete Carroll.
I just, you know, wait, just somebody tell Wes. What time is it? I gotta go on a short mini rant here about, okay, Pete Carroll, you bitching about the fact that the Packers were ruled to recover the fumble, and then he says, our guy came out of the pile with it. Well, I don't know how that's their ball. Come on. Okay, first of all, either you're trying to detract from the fact that your billion-dollar quarterback just threw an interception at the worst possible time, and you're trying to take the heat, and you're trying to, like, pander to whatever idiotic fans are dumb enough to believe you. Or
Seahawks fans.
Or you really believe this, and it's even, like, more of a farce, because, yes, your guy came out of the pile with the football after the referee had declared first down Green Bay. I can show you a still shot of Sterator going like this, first down, and there's still a huge pile there. So what happens? The intelligent player of the two let go of the football because he knew it was his. His team had been declared the winner of the fumble scrum. It just bugged the crap.
Well, you saw this in the Super Bowl, too. I mean,
just bugged the hell out
Russell
of me.
Wilson was defended
just,
to no end.
Just
They're all
just
defended
so
to no end. It's all on Pete
dishonest.
Carroll.
Pete Carroll knows why his guy came out. It happens like every week in the NFL. Just, you know, that's almost as bad as his 9/11 stuff. Anyway, let's call Wes Hodd.
You're going to say that, and then you're going to say,
let's call
Wes
Hodd. Yeah. People can Google it. If you don't know Pete Carroll 9/11, you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's see what young Wes Hodd is up to this evening.
I hope I have the number right.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll call somebody in Wisconsin. He's totally going to Larry VS. Here it comes.
Hello?
Looking for young Mr. Hello? Wes Hodkowitz. This is Cheesehead TV.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. You're live on the air, so don't say anything too offensive. Because
you guys know me well enough. You don't have to worry about that.
We fall under such strict FCC regulations. How the hell are you, Wes? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. How are both of you, fine gentlemen?
You know, great. Hanging in there. Corey's pretty much drunk by this point, so it's good. Anything could happen. So anyway, let's get down to brass tacks. You are there. You're on the ground. Reporter extraordinaire. Do you think, in your expert estimation, is Eddie Lacy going to play on Monday night?
That's going to be a great question. I'd probably feel more comfortable if we would have actually had practiced it, but obviously that did not work out that way with the Monday night football game. I have my reservations about it, just in terms of, you know, the thing is Lacy has shown, you know, one of the toughest nails backs in the league, but this early in the season, could you give him the week off, let Starks handle the workload and try to bring him back? Obviously, it was good news. It ended up just being the low ankle sprain. It's such a concern, you know, you look at some of these guys, how it can obviously take them out for 4, 5, 6 weeks and then, you know, kind of hamper him the rest of the season. So the fact that it's something he can sort of fight through, my guess is if it's later in the season, maybe they let it go. But as of right now, obviously we'll see what his availability is at practice. But I could definitely see them sitting him this week and letting him rest.
Yeah, I completely agree with that kind of line of thinking. I wouldn't be surprised either way, but I'm hoping they lean the way you're talking about there. Let's flip it around to the other side sideline and his counterpart, Jamal Charles. I know you wrote about it in regards to this is it. This is the big test. I mean, this is 3 weeks in a row. They're facing top flight backs. Obviously, they failed against Forte. They succeeded against Marshawn Lynch. I guess this is the rubber match. And as you pointed out, without LaTroy Guyon, you know, Charles is so different in regards to
right
being able to cut and get outside, and he's just much more nimble, you know, much more nimble than Marshawn Lynch, who's obviously much more of a power back. This is where I worry yet again about the contain on the outside, and I know they did a good job of that against Lynch and the Seahawks, but how do you see them even trying to begin to attempt to contain Jamal Charles?
No, you bring up a great point, Aaron, and that's a part of it that, you know, the Marshawn Lynch thing, the more you sit back and think about it, it actually does make a lot of sense for why they're able to contain him. You know, B.J. Raji is playing at a very high level right now. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you had Mike Pennell. Everyone makes fun of me. I can't pronounce the word Pennell.
Dude, it's all right. I said Guion for like 2 years.
Yeah, you said
Guion.
So
I said Guion. I think I
called Mike to his face Pennell, too. I really struggle with that last name. And I have no reason to with Hodkiewicz. There's no excuses. But the fact of the matter is that you look at the fact of how he's developed and you're having Raji back, it makes sense for why they could kind of manhandle that Seattle offensive line and be able to stop Lynch the way they did. Now, the question is, when you get guys to the second level, when you get under the outside zone, and as you said, you know, whatever they do, you know, whether it's Charles out of the backfield or him as a receiver, he can really hurt you in so many different ways. That's what concerns me about the matchup. And realistically, I think that's somewhere, you know, much like maybe, you know, when you're facing a Russell Wilson or somebody that's more fleet of foot, maybe that's where Matthews can help you out. But right now, I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for them, trying to survive this third week. And, you know, obviously this is going to be a big test. First time they're ever going to see Charles in a regular season setting. I think it's going to be a matchup to watch.
Speaking of the defense and speaking of, you mentioned Clay Matthews, I just mentioned it to Corey, really surprised at the fact that they didn't rush him from outside, I don't think, all night on Sunday.
Right.
Is that a result of the play they were getting from guys like Neal and Perry? And do you think that continues?
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of wondering, because if I'm Clay Matthews, I'm sure he's not looking to be an inside linebacker 100% of the time. But as Dom said this week, I mean, they need him to win football games, and they need him to play in that kind of position. I'm interested to see the direction they take. Is he going to stay as the dime inside linebacker the rest of the season? Do they hope that maybe, you know, that's a role that Jake Ryan can take on, or Nate Palmer, or maybe even Joe Thomas with them bringing him back? Because I still think on those pass rushing downs and those dime sub packages, you want to have Clay Matthews outside pass rushing or inside pass rushing, but you want him after the quarterback.
Right.
If he's back in coverage, that certainly helps them from that perspective, but it takes away your best pass rusher in the biggest down of the pass rush. So that's the million-dollar question for me right now. they certainly have the depth. It makes total sense for why they're doing this. They're thin on inside linebackers. Outside linebackers, you have Peppers. You got Jaron Elliott playing at a really high level, I think, with the little bit of reps that he's gotten. And obviously Nick Perry and Mike Neal have been consistent contributors there as well. So, I'm interested to see how Capers handles this. Maybe it's a one-week only thing where you have Russell Wilson, you got to contain him.
It might be a result of Russell Wilson being so good at getting outside.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Are you surprised Jake Ryan hasn't seen a little bit more action, or is this kind of, you think, it pretty typical of let's bring the rookie along slowly?
Well, on the newest depth chart, he's their starting inside linebacker. So,
you mean the depth chart that's put together by the PR staff? Come on, Wes.
No, but that's the thing is, and I've kind of written this a couple times in a couple stories. The thing that you go back to the base of the zone blitz and you know the way that Dick LeBeau did it and the way that Don did it, they still like having veteran players.
Right.
Obviously, in Green Bay, you have to be willing to compromise a little bit with that and go with the young draft and develop philosophy. But you know, at its core, they like having veterans there, especially with the inside linebacker position. And I'm sure this had something to do with the fact that AJ Hawk was as durable for as many seasons as he was. But during Capers now 7 seasons in Green Bay, they still haven't had a rookie start at inside linebacker. So they were deep there for several years, and now you do wonder, right? Could Jake Ryan get into that conversation at some point? I think they're going to give Nate Palmer every opportunity to hold that position. They certainly like, kind of the dimension he brings, and I think he's made a pretty decent conversion to inside. But, is Ryan the guy that maybe is a little bit more natural there? We'll have to see. But if he could develop, if he's a guy that could come in and take some reps off Clay Matthews, I'm sure that it would be best for the defense in general to be able to be more flexible with Matthews and where they're going to line him up.
We're talking to Wes Hodquitz from the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Wes, you mentioned Joe Thomas there, that they have brought him back. Now, be honest. Just first blush, when you heard or when you read that Joe Thomas was coming back, did you know that he was on Dallas's practice squad?
I did, actually. I actually knew that.
See, that's why
not.
You're one of the best. Because, as soon as the season starts, I just don't pay attention to any of that stuff. So I was shocked. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was more surprised. I really did think, we go through the cutdown weekend, and then obviously the aftermath of that with the practice squad. I was really surprised Thomas wasn't back on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Too. Obviously there's only so many spots. Even though they expanded to 10, there's only so many you can have. And they wanted Vauders who can play inside and outside. And, they're going to keep going on and seeing if they can get something out of Carl Bradford. But I was very interested that they didn't bring him back. Now, it made a lot of sense why they potentially bring him back now, because the situation has changed. Sam Barrington's not there, and now it gives them an opportunity to maybe develop another guy. And the only way you were going to get Joe Thomas back is if you sign him off Dallas's practice squad.
Right.
He wasn't coming back on their own. So I remember having this conversation with my colleague Pete Doherty a little bit at the end of camp. I still think he could be an intriguing guy as a dime linebacker. Now, obviously, he's going to have to leapfrog a lot of people to ever be in that position, but he hits hard, and he's not the fastest guy, but, he has some speed to him, some athleticism, and I think that's a place that even though he's 227 pounds, that in the long term, maybe he can make an impact for you. In the short run of it, they have to keep him for 3 weeks, or they at least have to pay him for 3 weeks. So it probably is a pretty good indication that he'll stay on this roster past, LaTroy Guyon getting activated next week. And, they certainly could use some depth there at inside linebacker. So I think it's an interesting guy to develop and see where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a possibility we may even see him right away on special teams. I mean, that was kind of, something he did very well last year before he got hurt and even, this year in camp. So, I think there's definitely some short-term and long-term possibilities there. Speaking of special teams, were you surprised? Because I was surprised at how well Ron Zook's crew did on Sunday night.
I was surprised.
I had this conversation with my former colleague, Rob Domofsky, because, Rob, and we've been talking about this, and he had asked Ron a little bit about, it looked a little disorganized at times and in training camp.
That's the understatement of the year?
It did, yes. It did. It was disorganized. But what was funny about it is sometimes that's what happens. Things look disorganized at first, and I joked with him. I'm like, and you know what? Zook's unit's going to be a top 10 unit this year in the Dallas Morning News rankings. Just watch. Ty Montgomery is a guy that could definitely be a big, give a spur to that, and kind of boost. I like his athleticism. I like his size, and I know the Sam Seal comparison to Randall Cobb's been completely blown out now by us, but there is something to be said for that, and I think he's an intriguing guy. But more than that, the coverage units have been pretty good.
They executed the onside kick. They were great.
That's been the most impressive thing, is the parts where they needed improvement, they've gotten it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. Going back to the defense, or actually, let's go to the offense, because I want to talk about the running game. Obviously, we mentioned Eddie Lacy before. I don't think there's much of a drop-off if James Starks is in there in regards to what they want to do running the football. The offensive line still needs to make it happen. This Kansas City team is no joke against the run.
No.
They're allowing 3.7 yards per carry on the year. Obviously, it's only two games, but they made C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman look pretty non-existent last Thursday night. Do you think the Packers can get it done up front against this crew?
Yeah, it is funny. I know that very well, that C.J. Anderson got held in check. My fantasy team severely hurt because of it.
That's why he was on my bench, young Todd.
67 points last week. That was a career low for me in my Green Bay Ballers league for 11 years.
Wow.
But regardless, I really love that defense. And me personally, I've said this before, I think I've talked to you about this, Aaron. I'm a big proponent of the 3-4. I think that's the way things are trending. But I like Kansas City's take on it, and obviously – with the pass rushers they have, it sends it home. But they do a really good job defending the run, too. And that's why I think it's going to be a tough matchup. You know, regardless if it's Lacy or Starks, they're going to have their challenges trying to get yards on the ground. But they were supposed to have their challenges last week against Meebane, too, and they handled themselves pretty good. If you can be respectable enough in it, I think it's something that can help them move the ball. I'm going to be picking Green Bay in this. I know they've never beaten Kansas City at home.
I know that you look at their
history. They're 2-7-3 or whatever against Kansas City all the time. But I do think this is a team that, you know, the way that they're set up right now, they can move the ball and do it well. But they're going to have to run at least some. And regardless if it starts or a hobbled Lacy or a healthy Lacy, there's going to be the challenges in that as well. But when you have Rodgers, and I wrote about earlier this week, that no back set they have, they brought that back, and I think that can be a big boost. I still like their chances.
All right, two things. First, in that 0-3 at Lambeau stat is that overtime game where they are going to win the ball game until Amon Green fumbles. So let's remember that. And two, you mentioned the no back set, and that segues nicely into Mr. Ty Montgomery, who you did mention earlier as a returner. Pretty big receptions in this game. One in particular, I know Rodgers talked about at the podium after the game. Do you think this earned him a little bit more playing time, his performance on Sunday night?
I do, and I think it's an even better example of why they need to get that package going, because as really dynamic as it was with Cobb coming out of the backfield, now that you could put Cobb or Montgomery back there, or even I think Richard Rodgers was back on a play or two, there's a lot of flexibility that they can use with that package now to keep defenses on their toes. And the thing that was impressive to me, more than the catches, more than how he played, the second effort that Montgomery showed on a lot of those plays, really digging down deep, you know, guys are bouncing off of him. That's the aspect of his game at that size and his weight that really lends itself to making big plays. And I think that's a really exciting aspect of this offense if they can develop it.
Absolutely. We're talking to Wes Hodkowitz, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Wes, I was going to ask for your prediction, but you've already given it. How do you see what's the final score? What are you picking as far as Packers win by how much?
I agree with a lot of the pundits out there that are saying it's going to be a lower scoring game. I can definitely see that. I still think it's probably going to be a 21-17 type affair. I could see. You look at Alex Smith, and he's had success against the Packers, and one of the reasons why is because, you know, he doesn't turn over the ball that much, and.
Right.
You know, Dom always talks about, you know, the quarterback ratios, passer rating ratios, and how, you know, who usually prevails in that category wins. Well, that's one thing he was able to do with San Francisco, and I think it was the 13 opener, was he didn't turn over the ball. I think he had like 126 quarterback rating. But the thing is with him is he still has his limitations, and I'm sure Kansas City is going to use their tight end better than Seattle did with Kelsey, but I still like the Packers' weapons. I think they'll be able to contain them enough, and I could see them squeezing this one out. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means, but I could definitely see it being a 24-21, 24-20, 21-17 type matchup.
Can't ask for anything more than that.
So, Wes, I almost used your new Facebook profile avatar for your animation, but I went ahead and I went with your nice, like, you in a tie and looking very svelte.
Thank you.
You but know, I really like your new Facebook profile, by the way.
Well, so here's the story with that, Corey. We David Bakhtiari came into the Press Gazette yesterday because he was shooting some stuff. He's teamed up with Clubhouse Live now.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Sister Paper
he's
for their
he's
show.
He's a traitor.
And Evan Siegel is the best among us. I mean, he's the Aaron Rodgers of the Press Gazette. He's just phenomenal. And I stood in there. He used a ring light that he ended up using on Bakhtiari. So I stood in there. And he had those glasses laying around from an old insider skit, so he told me to throw them on. And every time Evan takes a picture of me, I always promise him it'll be my profile picture. So there you have it.
There we go.
That picture is money.
Total money. All right. You're an absolute legend for joining us, Wes. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Later, Wes.
See ya.
That's how we roll right there. Wes Hockowitz dropping knowledge bombs about the Green Bay Packers here on Packer Transplant. That's what we do.
You put the S on that.
Got to put the cherry on top of the sundae. You know what I'm saying? You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, were you aware that there's a Packer website that released an application for your smartphone?
Yes.
Your Apple smartphone, which not only provides the content from said website, but also aggregates it from across the web in regards to the Green Bay Packers?
Yes.
It's pretty fantastic.
It's called the Cheesehead TV app.
Tell me more.
Every single person who is watching or listening to this who has an iPhone, I need you to download this. Okay? And you will be very happy you did. You'll be able to watch the show
from the app.
You'll be able to listen to the podcast.
You'll be able
to comment on all kinds of stuff. You'll be able to see Wes Hodkovitz articles
from the app.
From the app. You'll be able to see the schedule. Aaron's favorite feature is actually, I don't have it on this on the graphics right now, but Aaron's favorite feature is the game post. You can go to the game. If you
go to the schedule and then go to your game, whatever game, any game, and if it's been written about, you will find all the linked articles from Cheesehead TV, all within the scheduled post. So if it's like, you know, Seahawks, Packers, you just press the game and it'll take you to a page with everything that's ever been posted on CheeseheadTV.com about that game. It's fantastic. It's great. Everything that's ever written about any game that we've ever covered, it's there.
So everybody download it. Even if, like Alan said, saw it today, sweet, but I use my laptop. I don't care. Download it, Alan.
Just download.
If you care about this show, if you care about the Packers.
If you care about Corey.
If you care about the Green Bay Packers, you need to download this app.
You need it in your life.
So the second thing, very, very crazy, Cheesehead TV is a sponsor of the
one and only
Packers Fence. This weekend, two young artists, one from Milwaukee and the others from
the Green Bay area?
Yeah, Green Bay area. Made this fence. I've got it up right now. It's amazing. Eddie Lacy's on there. Cheesehead TV Avatars even got a little presence on there, a little appearance. And if you're at Lambeau Field, please take a picture with yourself of it. You know, push this out there. It's pretty awesome. I've seen the fence now since I'm unfortunately 38 years old. Or fortunately,
God, you're young.
I've seen the fence for 30 some odd years, and this is definitely the greatest version of the fence I've ever seen.
What I love is that one of our buddies tweeted out, if you go up on, kind of, you know where the atrium is, but if you go up that walkway, so you're behind the statue of Curly Lambeau, and you look at it from a certain angle, Curly Lambeau is pointing at the fence.
Yeah.
Pretty
oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
One of the artists actually
that was great.
Actually tweeted that. That was awesome. And I love this comment. Trenton Coyle. I love the app. My girlfriend hates it, though. She says I spend too much time on my phone. Whatever that means.
Then it's mission accomplished, friends.
I love that. Thank you for downloading it. And guys, if you do download it, and gals, Give a review.
Please.
Because it's going to pop us up, so people are going to put Packers, they're going to see the official Packers app, and then they're going to see the Cheesehead TV app, and you know they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to check this out. So it's going to be more people to Cheesehead TV.
And it's just, if you're a Packers fan, there's no reason not to have it, and I'll tell you why. Even if you hate us, and let's just lay it out there.
There's enough people
Some people hate us, and I get that. But we're here to serve even the people who hate us. Because, look, if you're a Packers fan, this app is your one-stop, it literally is your one-stop shop.
It's true.
You have every outlet that covers the Packers, every blog you could ever want.
We pull every major, the Packers.com, NFL.com, we pull PackersNews.com, we pull JS Online, and then we pull all the blogosphere. We don't pull certain blogs
Packers
that we've decided,
com,
but we pull
sports
everything
that's out
there,
the Packers,
Fox Sports, Fox Wisconsin.
If they cover the Packers, it's in there.
And I even have, I'm pulling Google, so like, even if there's Google search terms, because my thinking was, well, there's like small, like if we're playing New Orleans, there's small New Orleans papers that might not be pulled in that we'd want to see the competition. So if you look through there, it's very in-depth. It's not just a Cheesehead TV, what's on Cheesehead TV.
No.
It's
we want
see
you,
what is going on with the Packers.
We want you to have the world of the Packers at your fingertips. Hence the name Packer World.
And yes, right it does there. Have Vic Ketchman's blog, by the way.
It's on there.
You can't not have... Look,
you can't deny his existence.
You can't... Yeah, I don't deny Vic Ketchman's existence. I acknowledge his existence... And I call him a loser.
And he decries it. It's the way we roll.
He's terrible.
Okay, let's
but
not.
That doesn't mean that he doesn't road. Get in the app.
He's on the app. There's plenty of people in the media that we may or may not care for who are on the app. So
he's definitely on the app. And Android. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Other places in the Packers blogosphere, I think the Packers have finally kind of woken up digitally. And I think they're trying to finally kind of go, oh, wait a second. Cheesehead TV is doing all this cool stuff. We better keep pace. So you know what they did 2 weeks ago?
No.
Unbeknownst to a lot of people, but knownst to us, they launched the Mike McCarthy podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hosted by Larry McCarron. And I have to tell you, it is fantastic. And now I've been told that they want to make it, like last week was pretty short. It was only like 17 minutes. But they want to make it longer. They want to make it even more in-depth. But... It's really
That's
great.
Actually brilliant because
it's great.
The problem with the Mike McCarthy show and the right. problem with a lot of right. these like shows that are in yeah. you know it's like it's the same format
yes.
and like to me it's very interesting to listen to Larry McCarron and Mike McCarthy
just
those two
facts.
Guys
just,
talking
just
about that
talking
that's,
whatever
that's interesting
it's great and Mike in it is so relaxed and he's just talking to another guy you know
it is insane great. Though let's just say it's insane great. That in 2015 Right. Who would have thought? Like, I remember 2011,
right.
and I was at my old company, and they were like, yeah, blogs, they're making a resurgence. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, and now
blogs.
It's like Mark Maron's WTF and Serial.
I know.
It's like they're podcasting's huge. Like, it's like this second the hot coming.
Thing.
And you're just like, really?
We started this freaking website because you said, let's do a podcast. And I said, what's a podcast?
I just think it's funny. It's just funny.
Oh, it's great. Anyway, if you haven't, check it out. Literally, there have only been two so far, but the McCarthy podcast is outstanding on Packers.com. All right, Corey, what's your prediction for Monday night?
42-0.
I'm going to go with Packers 27, Chiefs 16. Packers win. Packers roll. Go to 3-0. And let me tell you, I am watching the game Monday night. At Senior Banky's house.
Oh, yeah. We are going to have some... We're going to be tweeting this out. We are going to have some very special premium Stillmank Brewery beer.
Ow!
We're going to have Double Disco. We're going to have Perky Porter in
Come
nice
on.
Bottles, like
Come
with
on.
Wax and stuff on them. It's going to be ridiculous.
And I've already told Corey, all I want in life on Monday night is some onion jam.
Yep, onion jam.
Brat.
We're going to have chili, onion jam, and ketchup and mustard on a brat the way it should be, the way it was meant to
the
be.
The way God intended.
It's
I'm all
be
in.
Good stuff.
I'm all in. I can't wait. I'm sure I will drunkenly tweet and throw out some photos from that night. So hope you're all following along as you enjoy the game and you enjoy the Packers win. You got anything else, Corey?
Nope.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette, along with everyone who connected with us on the live blog. Thanks, guys. You really make this a unique fan experience. It's why we do it. I mean, it's why Corey shelled out all the money he has to do things like the freaking app, which is amazing, let alone this show and the website. You guys are the reason we do it. Thank you so much. Go Pack Go.
take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason, okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?